I read to you Psalm 80. To the choir master, according to Lilies, a testimony of Asaph, a psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we thank you, O Father, that you have shown us your love, proven your love to us in giving us your Son. We thank you, blessed Lord, that you died and rose again from the dead, and you are seated at the very right hand of God, interceding for us. Now, even as we open the pages of your holy word this evening, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we may perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law, and that, Lord, you would write your word upon our minds and our hearts, that we would bring glory and honor to your name by being transformed by your spirit through your word. May your name be honored. May your name be glorified this evening, we ask, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Now, we said last time that this psalm is a prayer for restoration and revival. It was prayed by Asaph after the northern kingdom was taken captive by Assyria in 722 to 21 BC. O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Psalm 80 verse 1. And Psalm 80 verse 3. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And this verse is repeated again in verse 7 and verse 19. That phrase, restore us, that marks out three requests that Asaph made to the Lord for both the northern and southern kingdom of Israel. Save your flock, verses 1 to 3. That was his first request. Then he says, pity your people, verses 4 to 7. And then finally he says in verses 8 to 19, revive your vine, revive your vine. Now we looked into the first three verses of the psalm last Wednesday, and now let's continue with the rest of the psalm. Pity your people, verses 4 to 7. I read to you from the New Living Translation, Psalm 80, verses 4 to 7. O Lord God of heaven's armies, how long will you be angry with our prayers? You have fed us with sorrow and made us drink tears by the bucket full. You have made us the scorn of neighboring nations. Our enemies treat us as a joke. Turn us again to yourself, O God of heaven's armies. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. Now the shepherd image blends in with the image of Israel as God's people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 100 verse 3. But the Lord was now angry with his people. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? Psalm 80 verse 4. His anger smoldered like a fire about to erupt and consume them. Psalm 74 in verse 1 we read, O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? He was even angry at their prayers, or in spite of their prayers. Remember that God had told Jeremiah not to pray for his wayward people. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 16. As for you, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Again, Jeremiah 11 verse 14. Therefore, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer on their behalf, for I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their trouble. Jeremiah 14 verse 11. The Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. You see, when God's people live in sin and in rebellion, God's hand of chastisement, his hand of punishment is bound to come upon them. Therefore, the Apostle John warns the believers in 1 John chapter 5 verse 16. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. And he's talking there about physical death. If a believer continues to live in sin, he comes under the hand of chastisement, God's hand of chastisement, and sometimes even death, physical death, because God cannot use a person who lives in sin for his purposes. Now, during Israel's wilderness wanderings, God provided bread from heaven. He provided water from the rock. We see all this in Exodus chapter 16 and 17 and Numbers chapter 20. But now his people had only tears as both their food and drink. That's all they had. Psalm 80 verse 5. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. And to make matters worse, the neighboring peoples were laughing at God's people. Psalm 80 verse 6. You have made us the scorn of neighboring nations. Our enemies treat us as a joke. Psalm 44 verses 13 to 16. You have made us the taunt of our neighbors, the derision and scorn of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations, a laughing stock among the peoples. All day long my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face. At the sound of the taunter and reviler, at the sight of the enemy and the avenger. Psalm 79 verse 4. We have become a taunt to our neighbors, mocked and derided by those around us. So this is what happens when God's people live in sin. The enemy gets a foothold in their lives. That foothold becomes a stronghold, and they are defeated by the enemy. And we read here the refrain in Psalm 80 verse 7. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Note here, in verse 3, God is called O God. Psalm 80 verse 3. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But O God of verse 3 now becomes O God of hosts. The New Living Translation translates this as, O God of heaven's armies. He is the captain of the heavenly armies. Jehovah is the Lord of the armies of heaven and earth. But his people no longer marched in victory. Israel, God's people no longer marched in victory. When God's people live in sin, they lose out on victory. they live defeated lives and are unable to experience victory over the enemy. One of the greatest tragedies in life is wasted opportunities. Not making the most of what God has given us. We came into this world with certain abilities. When God saved us, made us his own through Christ our Lord, he also gave us gifts and the grace to exercise those gifts to help other people. And these gifts are given to edify his body, the church, and to be used as instruments in God's hands to extend his kingdom on earth. This is so that we as his people, as his church, and as individual believers, we can do his will. When God's children do his will, the people of this world who do not know God, they are drawn to God. They are drawn to him. The kingdom of darkness is invaded. God's kingdom is manifest through his people who do his will. But when God's own people live in sin, what a tragedy it is. So now Asaph is crying out in Psalm 80 verse 7, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Only when we repent of our sins and ask God to restore us, only then can God deliver us and use us. Isaiah chapter 30 verses 20 to 24. "Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go,' whether to the right or to the left. Then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, 'Good riddance.' Then the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. There will be wonderful harvests and plenty of pasture land for your livestock. The oxen and donkeys that till the ground will eat good grain, its chaff blown away by the wind." So, when God's people repent of their sin and turn back to God, then what will happen? He says that he will teach us. "Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go.'" So we can receive once again instruction, direction, guidance from the Lord if we repent and turn to him. So Asaph is crying out. He says, "Revive your wine," in verses 8 to 19. "Revive your wine." Psalm 80 verses 8 to 19. "You brought us from Egypt like a grape wine. You drove away the pagan nations and transplanted us into your land. You cleared the ground for us and we took root and filled the land. Our shade covered the mountains. Our branches covered the mighty cedars. We spread our branches west to the Mediterranean Sea. Our shoots spread east to the Euphrates River. But now, why have you broken down our walls so that all who pass by may steal our fruit? The wild boar from the forest devours it, and the wild animals feed on it. Come back, we beg you, O God of heaven's armies. Look down from heaven and see our plight. Take care of this grape wine that you yourself have planted. Take care of this grape wine that you yourself have planted. This son you have raised for yourself. For we are chopped up and burned by our enemies. May they perish at the sight of your frown. Strengthen the man you love, the son of your choice. Then we will never abandon you again. Revive us so we can call on your name once more. Turn us again to yourself, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved." The image now changes to that of Israel, the wine. Israel, the wine. I read to you from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. "Now I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best wines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Now, you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed. A place overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence. Now we find similar images of Israel as a vine in Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 21, Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 9, Ezekiel 15 verses 1 and 2, Ezekiel 17 verses 6 to 8, Ezekiel 19 verses 10 to 14, Hosea chapter 10 verse 1, Hosea chapter 14 verse 7, Matthew chapter 20 verses 1 to 16, Mark chapter 12 verses 1 to 9, and Luke chapter 20 verses 9 to 16. For those of you taking notes, you can note these verses down and read the images of Israel as a vine. Now Jesus used this image of the vine to describe himself and his followers in John chapter 15. In the book of Revelation chapter 14 verses 17 to 20, John writes of the vine of the earth, which depicts the corrupt Gentile nations in the end times. The Lord transplanted Israel from Egypt to Canaan. He uprooted the nations in Canaan. He planted his people in the land of their inheritance. As long as the people obeyed the Lord, the vine grew and covered more and more of the land. The boundaries of the nation reached from the hill country in the south to the mighty cedars of Lebanon in the north, from the Mediterranean Sea on the west to the Euphrates on the east and beyond. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 24. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates, to the western sea. Now we read of these boundaries again in Psalm 72 verse 8 and 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 24. But this luxurious vine disobeyed the Lord, and it produced worthless fruit. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 2. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice wines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. So the people of Israel felt the chastening hand of the Lord. The Lord punished them. He withdrew his protection, and he permitted the enemy to enter the land and ruin the vineyard. Asaph prayed that the Lord might forgive and once again bless his people. Psalm 80 verse 15. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. The word branch in verse 15 here, which I just read to you in the King James Version, it is translated as sun in the New American Standard Bible and also in the New International Version and also in the ESV. Branch is translated as sun. Psalm 80 verse 15, I read to you from the ESV. The stock that your right hand planted, and for the sun whom you made strong for yourself. And for the sun whom you made strong for yourself. And this perhaps is a reference to Jacob's words about Joseph in Genesis chapter 49 verse 22. Genesis 49 verse 22, we read, Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the wall. His branches run over the wall. Israel was called God's son. In Exodus chapter 4 verses 22 to 23. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. This is a reference to the Messiah. Matthew chapter 2 verses 13 to 15. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now the name Benjamin means son of my right hand. Israel is God's own people. Israel is God's wine. And Israel is God's chosen son. God planted the nation in Canaan. And God alone can protect and deliver the nation. He had treated the people like a favored son. Just as Jacob had laid his right hand of blessing on Ephraim rather than the firstborn Manasseh. Genesis chapter 48, I read to you from verses 12 to 20. Joseph moved the boys who were at their grandfather's knees, and he bowed with his face to the ground. Then he positioned the boys in front of Jacob. With his right hand, he directed Ephraim toward Jacob's left hand, and with his left hand, he put Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay his hands on the boys' heads. He put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy. He put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth." But Joseph was upset when he saw that his father placed his right hand on Ephraim's head. So Joseph lifted it to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. "No, my father," he said, "this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused. "I know, my son, I know," he replied. "Manasseh will also become a great people, but his younger brother will become even greater, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations." So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing: "The people of Israel will use your names when they give a blessing. They will say, 'May God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh.'" In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Now, the people of Israel, whether it is the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom, the people of Israel did not deserve God's blessings. They did not deserve his blessing, but in his grace, in his mercy, God bestowed his blessings on them. Psalm 80 verse 17. "But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself." It is also possible that verse 17 refers to Israel's king and expresses hope in the Davidic dynasty. We find the name, "O Lord God of hosts." Again, in the final refrain, we find the name, "O Lord God of hosts." Psalm 80 verse 19. "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Now the word "Lord" in capital is the name Jehovah. That is the covenant name of God. The psalmist is appealing to the covenant and asking God to be faithful to forgive his people as they call upon him and confess their sins. In the book of Leviticus chapter 26 verses 40 to 45 we read, "But at last my people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors for betraying me and being hostile toward me. When I have turned their hostility back on them and brought them to the land of their enemies, then at last their stubborn hearts will be humbled and they will pay for their sins. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land must be abandoned to enjoy its years of Sabbath rest as it lies deserted. At last the people will pay for their sins, for they have continually rejected my regulations and despised my decrees. But despite all this, I will not utterly reject or despise them while they are in exile in the land of their enemies. I will not cancel my covenant with them by wiping them out, for I am the Lord their God. For their sakes, I will remember my ancient covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of all the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So Asaph knew this covenant, and he's asking God to be faithful, to forgive his people as they call upon him and confess their sins. Now we see this also in Deuteronomy chapter 30 verses 1 to 10. God forgives his children and he restores them when they repent and confess their sins. Psalm 80 verse 19 is the Old Testament version of 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. I read to you 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will not only forgive us, he will also cleanse us from all unrighteousness, meaning he will empower us by his Spirit so that we can be victorious and not fall into sin over and over again. Spiritually speaking, the roots of Israel are still strong. We read of that in Romans chapter 11, especially verses 16 to 24. And I would suggest that you read that passage, Romans chapter 11. One day, the wine and olive tree will be restored and Asaph's prayer will be answered. Now, how does this psalm apply to us as believers in Christ today? We must not forget that we are saved by Christ to be a blessing, to be a light to the lost world around us. We are called to penetrate into darkness. In Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 to 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." When Israel did not produce the fruit that it should have produced as the chosen vine, God had to chastise his people. God had to punish his people. Psalm 80 verses 7 to 9, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land." That vine was the nation of Israel. God delivered Israel from Egypt, planted her like a luxurious vine in the land of Canaan. But soon he had to break the vine. He had to discipline his people. The wine was not producing the fruit that God wanted it to produce. Unless you and I submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and live under the yoke of his authority, we can't produce the fruit that he wants us to produce. God has blessed us to make us a blessing. He planted the people of Israel in the land that they might, by their life and by their testimony, that they will bear spiritual fruit, letting the Gentiles know about the true and the living God. So he gave them opportunity to show the other nations what he could do for those who would trust and obey him. Instead, what did they do? The wine became like other wines. The Israelites compromised and sinned. So God had to cut down his vine and discipline his people. Remember, God has planted you where you are as a believer in Christ so that you might be a blessing. He wants you to take deep root in him. He wants you to bear rich fruit. He wants you to manifest his kingdom where he has placed you. Your very presence in this dark world is so that God's kingdom would be manifested where he has placed you. So you must seek his kingdom above everything else. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You must pray, asking God to manifest his kingdom through you. God's kingdom is God's will being done on earth through you, where he has placed you. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Wherever you are, because you are a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, heaven should shine through you. One day, Jesus Christ will establish his millennial kingdom on earth. Until then, he wants his kingdom to be manifest through you. God's kingdom is his reign over your life. You, as his child, exercising his delegated authority on earth, you will draw upon every spiritual power that he gives you. He will certainly enable you to be a blessing. You must bloom where you are planted and bear fruit to the glory of God, and others will be blessed through you. God has blessed you with certain abilities and gifts so that you may invest them in others and bring glory to his name. And as you use your God-given talents and spiritual gifts to glorify God, you certainly will be a blessing to others. So, draw from God's spiritual resources and let him use you to enrich others. Now, let's look at two important words in Psalm 80. One is the word return. Psalm 80 verse 14. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this wine. The other word is the word revive. Psalm 80 verse 18. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. God had departed from his people, the people of Israel. He had planted this vine, the nation of Israel, in the land of Canaan. He had cast out the other nations to make room for Israel. The vine took root and the vine began to bear fruit, but the people of Israel began to sin against the Lord. Instead of being distinctively separate, they began to imitate the other nations. They visited the altars of the gods of other nations. They participated in their sacrifices. So God said, if that is the way you want it, you can have it. In other words, God left his people. You know that word Ichabod? The word Ichabod means the glory has departed. The wife of Phinehas named her child Ichabod when the ark of God had been captured by the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 4 verses 21 to 22. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God has been captured and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. Now, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Every saved believer in Christ has the indwelling Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So every believer in Christ, everyone who has trusted Christ as Savior and Lord of his life, has the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, you may have the Spirit, but the question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? Does the Holy Spirit control your life? That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not just a one-time event. That's not just a one-time event that takes place. It is something that is continuous. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it really means. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Lord will never forsake us. But when we sin as believers, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we are not effective in what God wants us to do. As a result, we will lack power, we will lack blessing. If necessary, God will withhold that extra anointing that he wants to give us. God will never forsake you as a believer in Christ, but there are times when he may need to withhold his power and blessing because of sin in your life. So ask yourself, am I in need of God's restoration? He hears the prayer for revival. He sees the heart that is repentant. So ask him to clean your heart and then pray the prayer of Asaph. Psalm 80 verse 18, revive us and we will call upon your name. Psalm 80 verse 19, restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer.